YouTube what the story is behind the song, and it turned out he was asked to go to a Christian camp, a basketball camp actually, disguised as a Christian camp, I guess, and there he witnessed the gospel that was given to him, and he thought about it throughout the week, and he was convicted, and he came to know Christ, and he wrote this song. I have up here, God shows his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he, Christ, died for us. One line, a lot of thought, that's what we're going to do here. We're going to take one section, and we're going to give it a lot of thought. We're not going to jump all over the place, but I am going to tell you three stories. The way I got to this, by the way, as this song title, is I was on a road trip with my grandkids, my boys, and we were playing Toby Mac on the radio, and one of them said, I won't embarrass him by which one, but he said, this is my favorite song. I changed that in my script to say this is one of my favorite songs, because I'm sure there's other ones since. I later thought about the lyrics of that song, because my grandson said it was his favorite, so I wanted to think about it for a while, and I did. At the same time, it came upon me to go into a ministry called PCAP. And this ministry is a Christian ministry that's been around since the early 1900s. It's a ministry that speaks to what we do and what we think as Christians about alcohol and drugs. So it's not like I'm going to come into churches and make people happy, because a lot of people are attached to their habits, to their social life. And I'm not here to upset people, because I don't think you win that battle of talking to people by upsetting them. And so I asked God, what do I do? If I go to work with this ministry, what do I do? How do I reach people? How do I become effective at this? More importantly, when I go to public schools, how will I get people there to hear what I have to say and get invited back so I can do it again? And so this message is what came to me. I started by thinking, after I thought about the lyrics here, that about God and how he created man in Genesis, that story. And the original condition that we were in as human beings in a relationship to God the Father was one of love. Remember in the beginning in Genesis, he said he created it, he saw it was good. That was a statement about his love for what he created. Then he came to us, created us, and what did we do? We took his love and we threw it away. That's what original sin is, when we broke the relationships we had with God the Father. It wasn't until his son came that it was changed once and for all. Love broke through. What does that mean? What does Scripture say? Well, I'm going to tell you three different stories from the Gospels. They're not, just so you get this, don't get mixed up here, they are not from 1 John 4, okay? 1 John 4 is our basis for conversation. But these three stories come from the Gospels, and you'll recognize them, I'm sure. In fact, the first story, I'm going to start right there. You probably remember this, okay? There was this lady who had been sick for 12 years. Starting on your heads when you know what I'm talking about. And she spent all her money on doctors, and they couldn't help her. She was weak. She had an issue that was not solvable by human hands. She needed God. So the day came that Jesus came to that town that she was in, and she decided she was going to go to him and to see him. Now, I want you to think about this. We live in car where we can get in a car and go someplace, but in those days, it wasn't like that. You usually walked, okay? The way it was described in the scriptures about her, I believe she was poor. She was also, because of her particular sickness, she was also unclean. So people of the Jewish faith would not want to have her near them. It was hard for her to leave the house. Yet she did. And she went through the crowd, and she got to Jesus with one thought. One thought. One change. Just one thing. All right then. You want to do it? There we go. Do you know who I'm talking about now? Nod your head. Somebody? Nod your head. All right, so this is the woman who had 12 years of bleeding, and she broke through the crowd to get to Jesus so she could touch him. Today, I liken that to a person who has a problem with drug use or alcohol use or mental health or pornography or gambling. Just keep naming them. It doesn't happen overnight that you change. It takes a long time to come to the point where you want to get help. And you need that help from touching Jesus. How does that reach her? He called her. Don't think for a minute that he didn't know she was coming. This is the master. The king, he knew. Love comes from God. In the scripture that I read you, that Andrew read you rather, love comes from God. God is love. This next story you can thank Kelly for, because Kelly, you brought this to our attention a year ago at the retreat, and it really stuck with me. There was a man who could not leave his bed. We don't know if he asked for or if he just got help, but his friends decided they were going to help him. They carried him to Jesus. This is a picture of them constructing the bed. This is also about love too, isn't it? Their love for him. If we go back and look at the scripture, it says, everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. These men had an inkling of who God was. That's why they went there. In her case, no one, it seemed, wanted to help the woman. It seemed like no one was trying. In this story, we have friends doing everything they could. But what also happened was sad. They got to the house, and the house was full. They couldn't get inside. You guys know what happened next, right? This is where you say love broke through. Love broke through. They went up on the roof, and they started tearing the roof apart and lowered him down. So that he could see Jesus and Jesus could see him. Scripture here in John 4:8 says, whoever does not love God because God is love. The reason that's in there is because in the original story about this man, it said that the proud lawkeepers who were in the house, they weren't interested in anything but catching Jesus in a lie. They were there to trap Jesus, to listen to what he said so they could use it later. His friends wanted to help him. So they broke through the roof and they lowered him down. Today, there are people that need your help. People that are stuck in a sin, stuck in a difficulty, stuck in a problem that they can't help themselves out of. You can be the catalyst that changes them. And it all starts with you. If you turn away, if you try to hide from it and ignore it, love can't get to them. But if you become the catalyst, through you, the love that you would have for them, the love that you have for God, is relayed to them. These people were not wowed by Jesus' miracles and incredible teaching, the ones in the room, the proud law keepers, and they disregarded the need of compassion for this man. Whoever does not love God, because God is love. I would rather be on the side of love. If I were crippled, and I am, in my sin, I think I'd want friends like this in this story to help me. They knew God, they knew love, and love broke through. God has the power to break through all of these walls that are around us, anything, whatever it is. But we have to remember who He is. So today what I'm talking about is God being love, Jesus being love. We don't often hear that. We hear other things about Jesus or about God the Father or about the Holy Spirit. But remember, His basic essence is the fact that He loves, and that's why He sent His Son to save us. That's the love that He has for us. So I'm going to tell you shortly how this has to do with what I do with selling, with talking about drugs and alcohol in schools and churches. I'm getting there, okay? One more story. I'm going to read you the scripture. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. Sounds like John 3:16, but it's not. It's actually John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 that Andrew read us. Okay. There was a man who was so violent. Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about. There was a man? Okay, thank you. And he was alone, and he was not in his right mind. He lived in caves. He cut himself with stones. He was chained, and he would break his chains. There was something going on with this guy. No one wanted to help him. In fact, they gave up on him. His own family, it appears, may have given up on him. He was as good as dead. He was not near people like us, near people in his family, his friends. He was isolated, and they gave up on him. And then he saw that boat. I wonder what he was thinking when he saw the boat. Jen, do you think he was thinking about Jesus then? Maybe. I think he was. When Jesus got out of the boat, it says that Jesus got out of the boat and this man ran to meet him. I want you to picture that for a moment. Again, I'm not talking about running across the room here. We're talking about from a distance of a hill where there's caves and running all the way down to the shore to this boat full of strangers. And there is Jesus getting out of the boat in this picture and this man. And we also know from the story that this man was tormented by demons. I don't like to spend a lot of time on that part of it. You can watch a TV show or something and get all that junk you want. But bottom line is, he was filled with demons, according to Scripture. He was filled with demons. Jesus said, or John wrote rather, that God sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. So what's going to happen next is this dead man is going to come alive because of what Jesus can do. Come out of this man, you unclean spirits. And what happened? He was set free. But the better part of the story isn't that part. It's really not that part. It's the next part. He was so happy with everything that happened. He cleaned himself up and he was in his right mind now. And he wanted to become a disciple and jump in a boat with Jesus and leave. And Jesus said no. He told him, to go home and proclaim how much Jesus has done for him, how much God has done for him. So now we're coming around to the end of this, where I'm going to tell you now how I see that working with what I do. Jesus was a catalyst of change in that time of the world, and he still is today. The people in these stories all had something wrong with them. What Jesus did was healed them. So we start right there. If I'm going to go into a church and the pastor in advance has told me that there is a family or two here or there that have problems with drugs and alcohol, or that there are people in their extended family outside of the church that they are praying about and they need help, and they want me to come in and speak because that's what I do, the first thing that God said to me is, if you're going to do that, then you need to show them my love. Because these are strangers. I don't know them. They're asking me to come visit. I can't just come in there and deliver some message and leave. I have to come in there and own this. See their eyes. See their bodies. See who they are. Hear their stories. This is what the Lord told me to do, not just show up, make a sermon and leave, which is what a lot of visiting pastors will do. Not that there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying, for what I'm talking about, I need to do more. And this is what God said to me. Now, when I go to schools, public schools, you know I can't preach the gospel there. Okay? I wish I could. There are situations where you can find that you can, but mostly you can't. For one thing, I won't get invited back a lot of times if I go down the route of the Bible. But I can show them the love of God through me. Once again, I meet these kids. I get to know them. I validate them through looking at them and caring about them and speaking directly to them, rather than just treating them like students that I'm going to visit, speak to, and leave. God showed me that. I'm so fortunate that at the schools that I do teach at, I get to go back over and over and over again each semester. So at Governor Mifflin School District, at Antietam School District, I'm there every week teaching health class, 8th grade, 9th to 12th grade, and I'm speaking about substance abuse, evidence-based material that tells you why this is not good for you. And I don't stand there and tell them that it's wrong, so don't do it. I give them real reasons scientifically that this can hurt you. And I also imply, spiritually, it can hurt you. Because it can. When you become a slave to any kind of a substance or any kind of a problem that becomes a sin in your life, it hurts you. It hurts you spiritually. And you struggle with that until you get right in front of God with it and ask for forgiveness. Again, I can't go that far with the kids in a public school, but what I can tell them about is the love of God for them. I can do that. And that's where I have to leave it. So fortunately, I'm able to tell them about people that I've spoken to through this church, through WeCare. I don't specifically name the church and name WeCare. I just tell them that I'm in this ministry work that I do through my church. And I have met people over the years that have come through a life of difficulties because of their connection to substances that are used recreationally that are also illegal, and the things that it did to their lives. And believe me, if I told you the stories, if you want to talk to me sometime, I'll tell you some. But it's just unbelievable some of the things that people do. They can't pay their electric bill, but they can get high. I don't understand that. They have kids, and they need to pay their electric bill, but instead they would rather go get a six-pack and drink it, or whatever else it might be. And so their priorities are backwards, and that's because this gets a hold of you and your mind gets captured, just like the man we just talked about. All of the things that he was dealing with in his mind, screaming at him, whatever they were doing to him, they were causing him not to think normally. And that's the evidence, by the way, that you don't think normally when drugs and alcohol get a hold of you. You don't think normally. It's pretty clear. So the people in these stories had a few things in common. They were unclean. And what I mean by that is society, their society, didn't want to be around them. And I see that oftentimes with people that are stricken by an addiction or an issue with some type of moral sin. These people were desperate. They needed help to get out of their conditions, and only God could help. And they were all different. So that's another thing. When I go to schools, it's not like some school districts where everybody's white. I see people of all different races, ethnicities, demographics. Some of them don't speak English very well, but they're in the school. How do I get to them? How do I speak to them, teach them? This is what Jesus said to me. He's like, you need to love them first, and I'll do the rest. Right, Jen? That's how you do it. The bottom line is, we know from our studies that bringing people to Christ isn't one of these deals where you just go up to people and you hammer them until they say yes. Doesn't work that way. What they need is you. And they need a lot of you to talk to them, to show them love, to show them kindness, the love of Jesus, a supernatural love that is beyond what we as humans can do. As we saw with these three people in these three stories, they needed a supernatural love, not just run-of-the-mill, hey, how you doing? I hope you're going to do better. I'll pray for you. They need real things. They need real people. That's what we have to do as his hands and his feet. I did not use this script at all. How's that? And I've come to the end here, and I'd like to ask you a question. Would you be willing to pray with me now? If you would, bow your heads, please. Father, we thank you for your love for us. We could not claim to be here in your kingdom if it weren't for you. You chose us. You drew us near. You gave us a chance. No matter how we got here, it was through you. There are many among us who were led here by someone who loved us enough to care. Thank you for their love. We are yours, Lord. We want to do your will. Your will is that no one should perish apart from you. Help us to bring your love to others so that your love will break through the walls, open up the hearts, and live in them. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm just going to one last thing yet, and I'll get out of the way. The end of the song, When Love Broke Through, these are the lyrics. You found me in the darkness, wandering around the desert. I was a hopeless fool. Now I'm hopelessly devoted. My chains are broken, and it all began with you when love broke through. I did all that I could do to undo me, but you loved me enough to pursue me. How beautiful is that, right? Thank you.
Our last song this morning is called The Same Power.